I'd like to say to you this. There is a great opportunity this week to share the gospel with people with whom you've never spoken. You will meet them in the town. You will meet them with the fireworks. You will meet them with all sorts of different situations. And I encourage you to share with people the word of God. It's life. And many people don't know much about that life. The time has more or less beaten me to it this morning. But I want to share one thing, and I'll very likely go over it again when I get to preach another time. But I want to share with you two passages of Scripture. The one is found in Revelation 12, and the other is found, and this is where our study would have gone to, if we'd have taken the time, chapter 17. If you'll open at Revelation 12, you'll discover a very descriptive thing that is written in the first few verses. Listen to me carefully and read with me so that you'll understand what it is I'm going to say to you. There's a woman, and there's the child, and there is the dragon. And the dragon is Satan. No one else, just plain Satan. And we find and we discover these words. Chapter 12 and verse 1. The great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of stars, of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain and gave birth to give birth. Another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now turn over to the 12th chapter, please. And I want to stress to you, we're not seeing the same person. But some people in their thinking have got some of this mixed up, and they think this is the same person, and I'm going to stress this is not the same person. Verse 1, chapter 17, then one of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names and of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. On her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. There is time for me to share a little bit of this, and I would first point out to you that the first woman we saw was dressed in the sparkling brightness of the sun and the moon and the stars from heaven. I would point out to you that this other woman, who is a harlot, the mother of harlots, and taught all sorts of wrong sexual things in the earth, this woman is covered with gold, scarlet, purple, pearls, things that are dug out of the earth and out of the sea. And it will help you to understand the difference. The one has the beauty and brilliance of what has taken place in heaven and is clothed with heavenliness. This other one that we read in 17, chapter 17, is a woman that takes everything from the earth. And of the earth, she is earthly. Now, how to apply this in our general living? And I want to say this to you. I believe that we are in these last days, and one of the things we are being taught by all the media and all the critics of Christianity, we are being taught that the earth is terribly important. Understand, I'm not talking about looking after the earth from an ecological point of view. I am simply talking of the earth as it is. And the earth is condemned already. So it seems to me something of a waste of time to spend an inordinate amount of time trying to save what is on the earth, in the earth, and growing from the earth. It is from the earth that we have earthly thinking. And if you watch television, and I know you do, you will see lots of earthly thinking and lots of sexuality that comes from earthly thinking. If you go to the local school, you will find that you are taught earthly thinking. There is a part here where this child, this male child of chapter 12, the emphasis is on the male child. He's a male child that is born. And the Satan is just waiting to eat up the child when it drops to the ground. Rather like a coyote that is waiting for the calf to be born and is going to kill the calf when the cow isn't really capable of looking after it and to devour the calf and take it off. Same principle. This is what Satan does. He tries to take away what has been given. And now I'm about to jump into the meat of this whole thing, and I'm not going to allow myself to do it because you'll be here till 12:30 at least. So the next time I preach this word to you, I will go to this place. But what you can do in the meantime, you can read Matthew 13 and understand that the Bible is teaching us all the way through about what it is that Jesus is saying about this very day when this woman, this harlot, this woman who performs fornication and teaches fornication, when this woman is doing her worst. Jesus was teaching all about it in the 13th chapter of Matthew. And as Jesus taught, he taught all sorts of lovely things. He said, just as for instance, that the sower went out to sow. And some seed fell on good ground, some on crummy ground, and some on really rough ground, and it didn't work. And the evil birds flew down and gobbled up the seed. You remember the story? Well, I won't enlarge on it. You can remember it. And then Jesus said, another strange thing happened. If you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed recognized by the Bible in the earth, you should say to this mountain here, get out the way, and it will get out the way. The tragedy is our faith is so ridiculous that we don't have that much at the very best of moments. However, without beating ourselves up too much about this, Jesus in that story is teaching us of this day of chapter 17. What did he say? There will be abnormal growth. This mustard seed grew into a tree and it harbored all the birds. The birds found rest in its branches. Who's heard of mustard seed growing like a tree? You pull up the mustard seed, or you trample it down, or you poison it, or you try to get rid of it and get it out of your fields. That's where the mustard seed comes. And then he goes on, and Jesus teaches other parables, and I will show you in a week or two how these teach this chapter 17. It's quite fascinating, at least it is to me, and I hope to share with you that fascination of what Jesus was talking about to his disciples. And he said, in that day, it's an important day, and it's here. We've reached it in chapter 17. So I would share this with you and ask you to go home with this thought, that what is going to be taught about chapter 17 has been taught all through the history, which is approximately 6,000 years of the Bible, which is approximately the length of time of creation, which is approximately how long God has been dealing with man. I believe that before that, he dealt with Satan. But that's another story, and we won't go there right now. Will you read the 13th chapter of Matthew and prepare your heart and your mind? Read it many times. Trip the preacher up. Tell him he's wrong. And he'll quickly come back and tell you how right he thinks he is. But do it. And read this chapter 17 and the 12th. Read them parallel, side by side. And compare the woman and the woman. Compare what God presents, who Satan presents. Compare it. And then start to wonder, how does that apply today? And you will find the Lord Jesus, who is the Lord of all. And if you go to verse 6 of chapter 17, you will see this woman drunk with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled in great amazement. I've seen Satan work personally in my life and in the life of many. And I've marveled that we love him so much, we allow him more and more and more space in our lives. You've got a week in front of you to celebrate getting rid of the British. The thing to remember is that you didn't appreciate a cup of tea. You threw the tea into the sea water, and you've not made a good cup of tea since. It really loosened up your understanding of drinking tea. I'll tell you a secret. I don't like tea. But my wife likes tea. So I like tea. Would you like a cup of tea? Yes, dear. Yes. Would you like another cup of tea? Yes, dear. Yes. So you do things. When you get married, you like things that you don't like. I did ask her not to cook for me liver and onions, and found she didn't like liver and onions anyway. So I've never had liver and onions. I'm so grateful for that. But that's about the only thing. But see, you spoiled your own tea. And you've spoiled your own lives. Ruined them. Not because you didn't listen to an English monarchy who was a drunken and foolish man, but because you invite satanic things into your life. And all this week, you'll cook at the barbecues, you'll eat tons, well, pounds at least, of those things called hamburgers. And I have a friend, he kills a cow, and every choice cut he turns into hamburger. There's a man without taste. But you'll eat lots of stuff. Remember, there's a lot invested in parts of us. Fried chicken, hamburger. Oh, there's a lot of it invested. And just remember, there is a sin called, I'm going to ruin your week. Gluttony. Be careful. Be careful. Just remember that all sin is satanic born. All sin is suggested by Satan. So we're going to sing a hymn, and I'm going to ask you, as you've been remembering the Lord Jesus, I'm going to ask you to remember Jesus. I will sing of my Redeemer, 506. Please stand and sing this very well. 506.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love for me. In the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse he set me free. Sing, sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how the lost estate to save, in his boundless love and mercy, he to ransom freely gave. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, of his love who grudges me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid my debt and set me free. I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant roar I'll tell, how the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, of his blood that purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free. I will bring him and the heavenly love to me. He that death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt and made me free.
Almighty God, it seemed a strange way to gain freedom, but we thank you for this freedom of this country, and we thank you for the privilege of living in this country, and we thank you for the joy of having Jesus Christ with us living in this country. We thank you for this country with all its flaws. We thank you for this country with all its inabilities. But we thank you that you have blessed this country and you have blessed the people of this country. And we ask that you will allow this country to wake up to the fact that you are the living God, you have the last word, and you are to be worshipped, and you are to be praised, and you are to be honored. Oh Lord, save our people, save this country, turn the hearts of thousands to you, revive thy work in the midst of these godless years, and bring us to our knees that we may cry out, oh my God, my Lord. Lord, we ask, pour your peace that is beyond human experience of understanding into our hearts, into our minds, into our souls, that we may love you with all that we are. And we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The Lord bless you. Celebrate well.